Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Strong Municipal Libraries Podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And we teased this episode ages ago when Chasley brought up that she just wanted to have an entire episode devoted to V.E. Schwab. So here we are with the V.E. Schwab Hour.
I was so excited when I first had the idea, and I've just been nothing but excited since then. And that is because I love her, because she's incredible. If you don't know, she goes by V.E. Schwab and Victoria Schwab. More on that in a minute. But she's the best-selling author of more than a dozen books. The Independent has a quote here for her. It touts her as enviable, almost Gaiman-esque quality to switch between styles, genres, and tones. So she writes both juvenile YA and adult books. Mm-hmm. She writes as Victoria Schwab for kids books and for YA, and writes as V.E. Schwab for the adult books. And this is what she says about that. The real reason is that, as much as I love this industry and its readers, we often have a perception problem. I've had people tell me to my face that they were so glad they didn't know I was a woman, or they wouldn't have picked up my books. Ew, right? But I'd rather they fall in love with my work than have to face their bias, then never read the work because of it. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was very kind of like an evolved way of saying, you people suck, but...
Might trick you.
Might trick you, right?
And once I trick you, reading me, like anyway. My book.
Yeah. But what's really funny is if you're in the... I mean, I guess if that's something that you pay attention to anyway, you know when you see those initials first off, you're like, I bet you're a woman. Because, I mean, J.K. Rowling did that, and N.K. Jemisin, and it's a very common thing to be like, hey, who am I? Yeah. Though I guess Jo Rowling could have done just Jo Rowling, and nobody probably would have thought twice about that.
Although, weirdly, there are a handful of men that write romance novels, and they also have to use nom de plumes, or however you say that, because women will not buy books that are romantic that are written by men.
To be fair, it's because I've occasionally read things written by men about women, and I'm just like, have you met a woman?
Ever? There's a subreddit for that.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
There's one really popular romance writer who writes, it's a husband and wife team. Do you know who I'm talking about? And it's the, like, both of their first names are the name of the author. We'll look it up later, okay? Well, yeah, we'll figure that out for
cute.
You. Anyway, she says about, V.E. Schwab says that she splits her time between, I'm just going to pause right there. This is something that I am so jealous of every time that I ever hear anybody say this. I split my time between these cities. I don't know why, like, I'm obsessed with it. Like, I just want to live in more than one place.
The
I don't know what it is.
The idea of being able to jet back and forth whenever you want to change your scenery.
I think it's just, like, this immense sense of luxury not to live in just, like, one place. And that's dumb. But, yeah, anyway. She splits her time between Nashville, where she grew up, rural France, where her family lives, and Edinburgh, where she buried her heart. So
that sounds exhausting, actually.
That actually does sound exhausting. Maybe just two places.
every like 3 or 4 months, you know?
Yeah.
So now she does it all the time.
But I'm sure
she has people to help her if she lives in 3 different places.
Right? And rural France seems like it would be just a very relaxing place to be. So
how did you discover her as an author?
So the first thing I read was the Shades of Magic series, which starts with a darker shade of magic. And I honestly can't remember what happened. I think I may have just been browsing the shelves and saw it, because the covers are really stand out. Mm-hmm. And also, to be honest, I look for the initials because I love women writers. Especially ones who write in fantasy and sci-fi, because it tends to be so male-dominated. It's just a very different kind of voice.
Yes.
So anyway, I devoured those first, there are 3 books in that series. And then I told my husband, I was like, oh my gosh, you have to read these. And he doesn't read. But he doesn't.
That'd be a shameful secret from a librarian.
He doesn't read. He listens to audiobooks, but also he doesn't tend to read anything that's not epic fantasy. He's real into, like, you know, the Robert Jordan and the...
He wants a full, like...
He wants 16 books.
Yeah. Tolkien-esque, kind of.
He wants wizards and all that stuff.
I want to know the whole political history of this book.
That is very much... Yes, that is his perspective, exactly. And so I was very excited, first of all, that he agreed to read it, because I come home, like, every other day, and I'm like, oh my gosh! But this one, I was like, no, seriously, you'd really like it. And so he did. He listened to all 3 books, and he agreed that she's just fantastic. And then after that, after I read my first V.E. Schwab, I read my first Victoria Schwab, because since I'm the children's librarian, I was buying her books. And I was like, oh, this looks really good. I need a ghost story. And so I read her City of Ghosts, her Cassidy Blake series, and it was fantastic. There's only 2 books so far, but, like, I mean, like, all I want is for that third book to come out. I mean, it is something that, like, I'm waiting for that day, because she does such an incredible, like, the story is good and the character is good, but you just know something's coming. Like, she's building up, like, this series, and it's the worst kind of cliffhanger because, you know, you don't get more than, like, a book a year in the series, and so you're, like, just waiting. Though I have to say, that will give me the opportunity when the next book comes out to, like, reread the whole series, because that's what you do,
yeah,
right, when it's a long time in between.
Of course.
So my weird secret here is that I've read almost all of her middle grade and adult books, and I've read none of her YA.
I was wondering.
Yeah, which she also writes under Victoria Schwab. And so, like, I have, like, all of them on my to-read list, but I just haven't done it yet. Though I have to say, they all sound incredible. And I'm on hold right now for The Near Witch. I don't know. I think it was her first book, and it sounds incredible. Most recently, I've read her adult series. It's called The Villain Series. The first one is Vicious, and the second one is Vengeful. And there were lots of years, like 5 years in between the first book and the second one. And the second one, I think, just came out this last year. And it's, like, it's crazy. Like, okay, everything that she writes, like, the characters are good and the world is good. But, man, she can turn a plot. Like, it's, like, and that's not usually the thing that gets me. Like, I love a good plot.
Yeah.
But that's what keeps me going back to her, is because as much as I love the characters, her plots are incredible. You never know what's going to happen. And this Vicious one, it's the premise that people who have had near-death experiences but have actually sort of died and then were resuscitated can sometimes come back with powers. And so it's in this world, but the people that you're following, like, there's, like, this dynamic of these are the good guys and these are the bad guys, but it's not. I mean, like, everyone is struggling and making horrible mistakes and fighting against each other, and it's deep and thought-provoking, but also just, like, so page-turning. It's one of the best things that I've ever read, all of this stuff. I mean, like, this is why we're having V.E. Schwab hours, because I just can't help but, like, gush about how incredible she is.
Well, what's something about her writing that really stands out to you as being different from other fantasy and... Well, we say fantasy sci-fi, but fantasy authors.
Fantasy, really, yeah. So I think that she's not afraid to go a little bit darker, like, things don't have to turn out okay. But also, I think that she's just a very unique thinker. Like, the Darker Shade of Magic, you start off by finding out that there are four Londons. There's Red London and Grey London and, I want to say, Yellow London and Black London. And somebody who's able to travel between them. And so it's, like, kind of different worlds that are all, like, connected in this way. But, like, reading that, like, I never would have imagined what she could produce out of that.
Yeah.
This, like, really, like, intricate plot. And I just think that it's very different. The Vicious series is unique because of that kind of acceptance of villainy, like, that, you know, like, these people are, for the most part, pretty bad, like, all of them, and yet you find yourself rooting for some of them anyway, and so I think that kind of complexity is really good. She also actually has a graphic novel series that's based on the Shades of Magic series, which I'm not really into that either, and so I'm super excited about.
Yeah, because it sounds like Shades of Magic would be really visual.
Yes, yeah. Especially, like, it starts off with this guy who has this coat, and he's like, it doesn't have one side, and it doesn't have two sides. It has multiple sides, which is, of course, impossible. And that's all she does. She just leaves it at that. And so, like, that comes up again and again throughout, and I love it. She also has a really good social media following, which she is, it's because she's super funny, a unique thinker. Some of her tweets that I really liked, she said, her mom said, did you forget to pay that bill? And I said, I hold entire stories in my head, sometimes multiple iterations simultaneously. I create people from scratch and move the mechanisms of myriad fictional worlds. And mom said, I'll take that as a yes. And my favorite one, she said, how famous do I have to be before I can move into a secluded cottage in the Scottish Highlands surrounded only by hills and a herd of wolfhounds and have people call me mysterious instead of weird loner?
I think she's almost there.
Almost there.
Yeah.
And I think one of the really good things, too, about her writing, I'm going to list 17,000 things now, is that she is really good at that. She can turn a phrase and she can say things in a way that's interesting and memorable. And she uses that really well in her character development. In A Darker Shade of Magic, she has this character named Lila, and somebody says to Lila, I apologize for anything I might have done. It was not myself. And Lila says, I apologize for shooting you in the leg. I was myself entirely. She actually said, like, that the whole idea of that whole series came when she thought about a young musician colliding with a mysterious girl who was dressed up as a boy, and she picked his pocket. And that moment is the meeting of Kel and Lila in the story, which is the first step that would become the Shades of Magic series. And so I love that, actually, about when writers will take the time and be like, look, this is that first glimpse. I think that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And she actually went into Goodreads and did, like, highlights and notes for her own book to kind of, like, talk about a little bit of her process and some of the things she likes. And so if you become a V.E. Schwab super fan because of this, then you can go in and get all of those sorts of insights.
A Schwabster.
Yeah, there's no way to say that. But.
No. She has a very distinctive last name.
She does, yeah.
Schwabenite.
Schwab the Dex.
She has some more stuff coming out soon, which is great. The Shades of Magic series is complete. It's those three books. But she has the Threads of Power, which is a companion series that's coming out soon, which is good. And, oh, I was going to tell you, the Shades of Magic is really good on audio. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because they have all, like, the magic words that kind of come into it.
Oh, yeah.
And that so trips you up if you can't, like, you know, if you want to be able to say what it is and you just can't do it. And so it does make a really good audiobook for that. The Steel Prince is the graphic novel series, and it's actually a prequel to the Shades of Magic series.
Oh, okay.
So now what you'll have is the Steel Prince, which is the start one, the Shades of Magic, which was the original one, but it's the second one, and the third, Threads of Power, which will be the third one, and hopefully she'll just keep writing all of this stuff.
Just forever.
Yeah. Next year, her next release is going to be The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, and it's adult, so it's written under V.E. Schwab, a love story between a French girl and the devil. For 300 years.
That sounds amazing.
Like, that's all you have to say.
When is it coming out? For reals.
Sometime next year, 2020 is what it says.
It sounds like one of those things where you look for, like, a writing prompt, and that's what they give you, yes. And you would go, like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
she was like, let's do it.
Perfect.
Yeah. So Addie LaRue sells her soul for the ability to live forever, and the devil curses her to be forgotten by everyone she meets. Okay, she says it's probably the hardest thematic stuff she's ever written. It's one of the more ambitious structural books I've ever written. It's a book that I wasn't ready to write for a very long time because I wanted to make sure I was creatively, ambitiously, and mentally in the right headspace. Mm-hmm. The core of this idea came to me 8 years ago, and I waited almost 6 of those 8 years to ever put pen to paper on it because I knew I wasn't quite there yet. Every time I finish a chapter, it feels like setting a very heavy weight down that I've been holding for a long time. Which, honestly, if I'd read any writer say that about a book, I would immediately want to read it.
Yeah, you know, a book even, like, I wasn't good enough to write this book until now.
Yeah, and so something that is that much of an investment, and I really hope that by the time that she's done with all her edits and everything, it is as incredible as it sounds like it's going to be.
So for the uninitiated, where do you recommend people jump in?
Okay, so if you're a grown-up, I would recommend starting with A Darker Shade of Magic. Mm-hmm. And it's straight up fantasy, and it's just unique and fantastic. If you are not yet a grown-up, or if you are like me and have a deep appreciation for all things juvenile,
then young at heart.
Yeah. The City of Ghosts, it is her Cassidy Blake series, and man, it is just so good. Her best friend is a ghost, and like, they're not supposed to be able to, like, stick around the way they do, but he's there, and, like, he's, like, helping her, and she can, like, pass through this veil between, like, the ghostly worlds, and so, like, she meets somebody who's, like, this is your purpose, like, you're supposed to be, like, helping in all of this, and helping these ghosts, like, let go of, like, whatever it's keeping them here and sending them on, mm-hmm. But she has, like, this major, like, ethical thing, because her best friend is a ghost and doesn't want to move on. He wants to stay with her. And so she's like, am I doing them a service by helping them? Should I not? And sometimes they put people in danger. And so she's like, well, what do I do there? Mm-hmm. Like, it's complex for a kid's story, but not in the way that, like, any kid would find daunting. It's just really just, like, beautifully complicated.
What age group would you recommend that for?
So let's see. It's juvenile, which is usually, like 10 and up, but and I think that would probably be good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a little creepy, but it's not, like, nightmarish.
Yeah.
So
I actually, the only book I've read by her is The Archived, because once before a hurricane was coming, we were going to be closed for a while, I literally Googled books, YA books about libraries.
Oh, cool.
And that was one of the ones that came up, and it's about, it's basically, it's very similar. The idea is that, like, once someone dies, like, they have to be archived in, like, the library for their region, where, like, their books are after their life is done. So her job is, like, going to get them and putting them in the library, but you're not allowed to read any of the books.
Does anybody ever check them out?
The curator does, and I think at some point, I haven't read the second book, but I think at some point the idea is that they go back into the world.
Okay.
And yeah.
Reincarnation, kind of?
Yeah, and they keep adding to their little story. It was really interesting. It was like a ghost story library.
Kind of
fantasy.
A meta ghost story, yeah. Almost.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that one. Also, The Monsters of Verity is one of her YA series I've heard really good things about, but I haven't read yet.
I did notice all of her adult novels, even the ones in different series, are all black, white, and red.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm kind of curious about that, because she said, you know, like, hey, I don't really have much control over any of this.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they're kind of like, I don't know, setting her up her own color palette so her stuff isn't immediately recognizable.
Yeah, because her YA books are kind of all over, but her adult books are definitely this kind of, like, abstract-y, like, shapes with a lot of monochromatic detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The ones even a different series, and you definitely have, like, this whole, like, triangle theme that carries on, too. And so they're actually really beautiful. That was one of the reasons I picked them up, is because I was like, well, this looks lovely.
Darker Shade of Magic was on my to-read list specifically because of the cover. As I was scrolling by, I was like, ooh, this one's pretty.
Yeah. Yes, I recommended that to so many people just because it is fantastic.
Did you pick any of her books for your Secret Santa this year?
I didn't. The person that I was buying for was not really into this kind of stuff, and that's fine. But I did recommend it for somebody else to get for their Secret Santa. So hopefully we'll see if that turns out okay for them too.
I like to give, it's always good to give your Secret Santa, like, Santee, like, a few options. Like, a little something, like, that's out of their range, but a little something in their range too, so they don't feel like you're, like, forcing them to read something they hate.
Yeah, definitely some of that overlap is good.
Yeah. What kind of reader would you recommend this for?
So obviously anybody who loves fantasy anyway will really enjoy her books. Anybody who likes stuff that's a little bit darker will enjoy it. It definitely has that element in there. Anybody who enjoys some snappy dialogue definitely will enjoy.
If you like characters, but also like really complex plots.
Yes, yes. You know, unless, I think the only people I would say just outright probably wouldn't enjoy it is people who read for the love story. Because from what I've seen so far, and I haven't read her YA, so that may be different, but there are love stories, you know, tangled up in there like there are in most stories, but it's not the main focus in any of them.
That's how it is in the archived. There is a person that, like, they have interest in each other, but she's definitely like, well, this is much more important.
Right, yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
We're trying to save the world here.
We can
smooch later.
How exciting. Okay, is there anything else you wanted to add about any of the books in particular or the author?
I think that is it. I will try to read everything else that she has ever written before we speak again.
Okay, good. It'll make it hard because we work together.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for bringing a beloved author to us.
Thank you.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.